Okay, good morning to everybody. So we're to Sheni of Dvarim. We started yesterday to explore Sefer Dvarim a little bit from the perspective of the Netziv, which is that Mishneh Torah is in repetition, but it's a Shinun based on the Targum Unklos of Pachegen Oraisa. So we talked about two interpretations, Rashi and the Ramban, respectively, of Hoil Moshe, Be'eres HaTorah, Zos Leimor, Rashi, B'Shivim Lashon, the eternality of Torah, the fact that Torah can't be limited to any cultural milieu, the Torah is transcendent and ahistorical, and then the perspective of the Ramban, that Ha'il Moshe indicates that this was Moshe's desire, this is what he wanted to do, you saw this as his great legacy, we spoke about the Maimer Chazal within that framework, Yoser, Min Ha'egel Rotsa Lene, Kapara Rotsa Lahanik, and that Moshe wanted very much to spend the concluding period of his life transmitting the Torah, the Chachmei HaMasorah, they become inextricably linked with Torah. Torah is them, and they are Torah. Ki Misoras Hashem Chavso Uvisoraso Yegi Yomam V'Laila, which brings us to Sheni, where we have the famous doctrine of the Ramban, based on the Triad, Eicha Asa Levadi, Tar Chachem Asa Alchem V'Rivchem, which we try to talk about every year in Parshas Yisro, that the Ramban links back there, and he says that when Yisro asked Moshe, what exactly is going on here, so Moshe communicated with Yisro that there were basically three responsibilities that he had. What we would call today pastoral responsibilities. That there was Dayanus as well. So the Ramban revisits that discussion, and he actually does something very interesting. This we pointed out last year, but just to quickly review, Tar Chachem relates to Limud HaTorah, that is a great effort that Moshe invested in the process of Masa Achem, or the pastoral matters, and Rivchem is obviously the various issues of contention, the challenges that there were. So in any event, the Ramban then goes on to explain, right, that Moshe Rabbeinu never, and again, this is in Yisro as well, Moshe Rabbeinu was willing to set up, as we read in Sheni, the Sarei Elohim, Sarei Meos, Sarei Chamishim, Sarei Asaros, at Yisro's guidance, but Moshe Rabbeinu was never prepared to, in any sense, scale back his Limud HaTorah obligations, nor did Yisro think that that would be wise. That was also something that was a very personal, that was not subject to any kind of shlichus, that Moshe could somehow delegate that to other parties, but that had to come from Moshe Rabbeinu himself. So I think this is very much of part and parcel of what we tried to say yesterday, again, following the Netziv's basic approach here, which is that the beginning of Sefer Dvarim, so you see that Moshe Rabbeinu's framing of his career, his responsibilities. So it's true that when it came to matters of contention for reasons of efficiency, and maybe also for ideological reasons, that v'yiduim l'shivteichem, that especially the way the Ramban understands that, not like just Rashi says v'yiduim l'shivteichem, means that people would know them, right? So the Ramban says it's more than that, it's that the quality of the dayan was so obvious that everybody recognized immediately that these people were beyond reproach, these are the people we should be listening to, etc. So with respect to Dayanus, yes, so that can be delegated, and maybe there's a benefit to that, not just in terms of freeing up some of Moshe Rabbeinu's time and making sure that there aren't such long lines that Klal Yisrael has to wait on, but it also inspires people to see that if there's a die-in for every 10 people, people know them, and people can take on a certain aspect of modeling, role model. But when it came to Limud HaTorah, Moshe became Rabban Shel Kol Yisrael and remained Rabban Shel Kol Yisrael, that he was the one who taught all of Klal Yisrael. And so here again, Hoyel Moshe Be'eres HaTorah Zosli Mor, and then Moshe reiterating the Tar Chachem, the fact that he went to great lengths, he took on the great burden of teaching Torah to people, as the Ramban notes, who had been slaves, and that was a great challenge in its own right. But it was absolutely necessary, and it was definitional to Moshe Rabbeinu's life and his legacy. This is what he did. In that respect, I do believe that an Av Tipus, a kind of an archetype, is created, Ledora Doros, that all of the important work, which is done by manhigim. And again, I've noted in the past that you could divide Rabbanus in general into three basic areas of you know, being involved in chesed. And Reb Chaim very famously made that statement that that's the essence of the job. Ki yavo elai ha'am lidrosh elokim, paskening questions. There you could have some delegation system, but the being a rabbi, being a teacher, so that is inviolate, and that's something that has to be done personally. Of course, it doesn't mean that somebody once asked me when I was speaking about this, you can't have guest shiurim. Of course you can have guest shiurim, but you choose wisely. You have to bring in people that, you know your flock, that will... be able to meet them where they are and speak on with mastery of the topics at hand and really move people in the proper way and take responsibility for that. It's just not just like intellectual tourism, you know, and see what's out there, but it should be very guided and directed and, in the overwhelming sense to primarily be involved in Harbatzas HaTorah and facilitating that. So Moshe Rabbeinu, reflecting here at the end of his career, very much identifies and revisits this critical moment in Jewish history where, as far as resolving these kinds of contentious litigation issues there, it's necessary to have an infrastructure. In terms of Harbatzas HaTorah, so... There, Moshe Rabbeinu taught the entire Jewish people. That was his legacy. And again, each one within their own community. But non-delegatable nature of Talmud Torah. So that's something which really emerges very naturally from the life example of Moshe Rabbeinu.